on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me. Well, the rain finally stopped. Holy cow. Goodness gracious, that was ridiculous. For like the last week or so, just 946-0435, but I don't want to be insensitive. If you've seen any of those photos of North Carolina in the wake of the hurricane, oh my gosh, your heart just goes out to all those folks. Whew, man, I know some people who live in North Carolina. They weren't necessarily directly affected, but they live relatively kind of close to some of those areas. All right, our phone lines are open, 946-0435. Couple different things I want to touch on today. In a little bit, I'm going to get to the sports question of should the Big Ten have added UCLA, which is Penn State's opponent this week, USC, Oregon, and Washington. What do you think of the Big Ten adding those teams? These cross-country conferences that we now have, Stanford and Cal in the ACC, for crying out loud, USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, and the Big Ten. We're going to get to that in a little bit. I've got a lot of thoughts on that, and I do want to hear you folks' opinion now that it's here, it's real. Penn State's playing UCLA. Should those teams be in the Big Ten? We spent most of the show yesterday talking about Pete Rose and the Hall of Fame and betting on baseball and all of that kind of stuff. I will repeat, as I said numerous times yesterday, as I've said many times over the years, it's absurd that Major League Baseball's hit king is not in the Hall of Fame. But he bet on baseball, and he was banned for life, and that was his lot in life till he passed, and we'll see if he gets into the Hall of Fame at any point after his death. But I want to take the discussion a little bit of a different direction today. I want to talk about sports betting. Okay? Anybody want to call in on this? 946-0435. Lots of you bet on sports. A lot of you. You don't have to admit how much or how often or anything like that. I have bet on sports for a good bit of my adult life. I've gotten away from it over the last couple of years because you're going to lose. I mean, you're just going to lose. We all like the big winner. But more, and I'm a pretty smart guy. You kind of realize over time, you know, you're banging your head against the wall and you might win 3, 4, 5 in a row, and then you're going to lose 12 in a row. And sports betting crushes some people. Absolutely crushes some people. So I want to talk about one side of it from a story yesterday. Okay? This is about a former Jacksonville Jaguars employee who stole more than $22 million from the team. Now, maybe you've heard this story, maybe you haven't, like the original story. You probably have not heard what happened yesterday, which to me is the very, very fascinating part of sports betting and where we are. Okay. But this fella, he stole more than $22 million from the team so that he could bet on FanDuel. Like tons and tons of money. I don't know if he bet all of it on FanDuel, but he bet just tens of millions of dollars on FanDuel. And he's in prison now. He's in prison for 6.5 years. Well, yesterday he filed a lawsuit against FanDuel, claiming they took advantage of him. Okay, well, that's stupid, right? That's absurd. Idiot stole $22 million and lost, and now he's in prison. Criminal. Whatever you want to say about him is probably true. But I want to read you some of the components in this civil suit that this fella has filed. And this is from the ESPN story I'm quoting. Alleges that FanDuel incentivized, his name is Patel, to keep playing daily fantasy sports despite Patel exhibiting signs of problem gambling. According to court documents, he transferred approximately $20 million to FanDuel. If you want to give up on this discussion right away and just say, Geiger, screw that guy, please don't. I want you to listen to some of the things that he is accusing FanDuel of. All right. The sports book gave Patel $1.1 million in credits, as well as trips to the 2023 College Football Playoff Championship game and the Masters in 2021 and 2022, and Formula One's Miami Grand Prix, according to the court filing. Here's what this guy is claiming. Defendants actively and intentionally targeted and preyed on plaintiff with incentives, credits, and gifts to create, nurture, expedite, and or exacerbate his addiction with the only possible outcome that he would ultimately hit rock bottom. He is suing FanDuel for $250 million in compensatory and punitive damage. And again, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, screw this guy, low-life degenerate gambler. Bear with me. If you have ever bet a lot on a sports book or at a casino, what do they do? What is their job? Their job is to keep you gambling. Their job is to, if you're winning, their job is to keep you there so that they can get the money back, because they almost always do. Still, he's a low-life scumbag, Geiger. Okay. Here's some of the crux of the story. All right? And it has to do with an employee for FanDuel. Ready for this? Maybe I'll change your opinion, maybe I won't. But listen to what I'm about to read to you over the next couple of minutes from the ESPN story. The suit alleges Patel's VIP host at FanDuel, Brett Krause, communicated with Patel as many as 100 times a day between 2021 and 2023, on several occasions contacting Patel on days he was not gambling to find out why. Krause acknowledged on numerous occasions that they were, quote, breaking anti-money laundering protocol, according to the suit. Let me read that part again. This person, the FanDuel VIP host, again, if any of you have ever bet on sports, you know how this stuff works. They'll give you your own concierge. They'll make you feel special. They'll give you bonuses, incentives, and keep going and going and going. This FanDuel person, according to the lawsuit, acknowledged on numerous occasions that they were, quote, breaking anti-money laundering protocol. The FanDuel employee allegedly admitted that. Krause also moved certain texts with Patel to his personal phone, quote, to avoid detection by FanDuel's compliance personnel, and instructed Patel to fabricate dialogue on his FanDuel phone, according to the filing. Am I winning you over here a little bit more about the lawsuit? Just a little. This guy is a scumbag, Geiger, degenerate, stole $20 million, send him to jail. Not a victim. Story goes on to say, quote, Patel is a convicted fraudster, and it's no surprise his complaint is full of misrepresentations, according to an attorney for the other person. He lied about his life to the person, to the FanDuel employee, who at the time was a low-level FanDuel employee. Now, this person is claiming Krause accompanied the FanDuel employee accompanied the gambler on more than one trip sponsored by FanDuel, according to the suit. Quote, defendants knew through Kraus that the plaintiff worked for a National Football League team and was not permitted to gamble on the National Football League, the suit states. Patel was diagnosed with a gambling disorder in March 2023. Did I help sway your thoughts on this a little bit? Again, I've got a lot of experience with this. I bet on sports pretty heavily. I've told you many times I loved betting on tennis for a lot of years. I bet on tennis and college basketball. Those were my two sports that I love betting on. Won a lot of money. Lost a lot of money. And I know exactly how these sports books operate when it comes to keeping you on the hook. They've got a big fish, and they're going to keep you on the hook. If you haven't wagered in a while, they'll shoot you an incentive, a deposit match incentive. You know, deposit $100, they'll match it. Deposit $500, they'll match 50%. Predatory. Now, look, I don't expect anybody to call in and share details, maybe embarrassing details of your life, but there are those of you out there who know exactly what I'm talking about, how predatory. And I know people. I know people who have fallen victim to this kind of stuff. So this all happened. This all came out yesterday on the day Pete Rose died. Pete Rose, banned from baseball, no Hall of Fame because he bet on baseball. Now every baseball game is sponsored by either DraftKings or FanDuel. Every NFL game is sponsored by DraftKings or FanDuel. Everything in our country, it seems like, is sponsored by betting sites. And we live in this world where everybody's betting on everything all the time. This particular case here is of interest to me because this guy's a criminal. He's in prison. He lost $20 million. He stole $20 million. I'm not overly sympathetic toward this guy. But I understand this lawsuit that he filed. And I think he's got somewhat of a case here. Now, he's suing for $250 million. He's not going to win that. But I think the guy's got a pretty good case here of FanDuel knowing exactly how much money he was waiting. Do they share some responsibility in helping the person stop? Legally, I don't know. That's what he's claiming. I'm going to make I'm hesitant to go down this road, but we've seen celebrities. Prince died from substances. People around him found guilty. Michael Jackson, Matthew Perry, some folks around him are probably going. So in those situations, you're talking about people who may have been abusing drugs or were abusing drugs that led to their death, and other people around them get blamed and charged, and I don't disagree with it. I mean, they're talking about significant drug dealers in a lot of these cases, doctors writing fraudulent prescriptions, and at the same time, in a loose kind of way, these people are the ones still taking it. Are they responsible? Are they solely responsible for doing that kind of terrible harm to themselves or other people around them who are providing them all the tools to do that harm? Don't they share responsibility? And the answer is absolutely yes. Gambling ruins people's lives. Gambling ruins some people's lives. And sometimes you get in a hole and you can't stop. And then you've got a gambling company that continues to make you a predatory type of, they act in a predatory way, Do they share responsibility? I was telling Nathan this story yesterday. The famous McDonald's lawsuit, the famous McDonald's hot coffee lawsuit that many people have heard about and have like, well, that's just such a terrible, frivolous lawsuit. How in the world can you sue for getting burned by hot coffee? The coffee wasn't just hot. Let's see. She sued for, Liebach's attorney, her attorney argued that at 180 to 190 degrees Fahrenheit, McDonald's coffee was defective and more likely to cause serious injury than coffee served at any other establishment. So, and she won. And if you make the case that, you know, when you go to a restaurant and you get a coffee at a certain temperature and it is drastically over that temperature, it's not a frivolous lawsuit anymore. They're serving you a dangerous product. There was a case a year or two ago, I think this was either in Louisville or Georgia. Lady bought chicken McNuggets for her, I think, 3-year-old daughter, gave them to her in the car seat in the back. One of the McNuggets got stuck between the car seat and her leg and gave her third-degree burns, and she won a lawsuit against McDonald's. And they ruled that the McNuggets were served way, way, way too hot. So, again, sometimes lawsuits seem frivolous. Sometimes there is a little bit more to them. So, I just want to close this up by saying, you know what, I it's not that I feel for the guy who's in prison for 6.5 years, but I can see how it makes sense to me that FanDuel acted in an incredibly, terribly predatory way and really took advantage of this guy and knew what it was doing was wrong and still kept doing it. And to be perfectly honest with you, I hope he wins the lawsuit.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious, homemade meals served up from 11:30 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
At Shoefly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoefly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoefly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoefly's fit specialists, visit their website, ShoeflyStores.com. Shoefly. Your feet will thank you.
All right, welcome back. Our phone lines are open, 946-0435. Penn State plays little brother this week. You know how if you're a big brother, you want to go hang out with your friends. Mom, can I go hang out with my friends? Well, you got to take your little brother along. But Mom, jeez, I don't want to take him. He doesn't fit in with my friends. My friends don't like him. He doesn't want to be around my friends. He can't hang with us. Well, then you can't go. If you don't bring your brother, you can't go. Mom! You gotta bring your little brother. It's my crazy mom voice. I don't think I've ever done it. You gotta bring your little brother. If you don't bring him, you can't go. Mom! I don't want to bring my little brother. Penn State plays the Big Ten's little brother this week. That's what UCLA is. To get USC, the big brother, they had to bring little brother along. Little brother doesn't belong in the Big Ten. He doesn't fit. He's awful. He's going to have a big-time problem. Mom says he's got to go. Mom being like USC. And so what you have here is the Big Ten adding one of the softest Power Five conference programs in the country. And they're already going to get the LA TV market with USC. So why'd the Big Ten add UCLA? Well, little brother. Got to bring them along. What do you think of that? Does UCLA belong in the Big Ten? Do all four of them, UCLA, USC, Oregon, Washington, do they belong in the Big Ten? 946-0435. Do you have a caller who wants to chime in on my gambling subject? It says, Mr. Hankey. Is that your real name?
I'm caller number two.
Oh, okay. Very good. It says Mr. Hankey on here. Does that mean you're breaking out the handkerchief crying for the guy?
Don't you remember Mr. Hankey?
Huh.
I thought that was, did I get the name? Isn't he the little poop that hangs around? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. What the hell are you talking about?
It was on South Park. He was a little piece of poop, and he had a real high voice. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I don't think, I am not, believe it or not. I consider myself a very pop culture, but it is Mr. Hankey, the Christmas poo, and that's not something I've only seen maybe six or eight episodes. I did like the South Park movie that they made, but so you one-upped me there. That was over my head. That was a good job.
Okay, because I'm number two. I said Mr. Hankey.
I got you. Okay, now I at least know what the hell you're talking about.
Hey, did you ever see the movie Lost in America with Albert Brooks?
No.
Check it out. It's a sidebar. The story is a dark, kind of a light comedy from 85, but there's a gambling section in it. Do you want me to tell you what happens, or do you want to watch it?
Yeah, I kind of like Albert Brooks. I love broadcast news and some other things, but at this point, I'm probably not going to watch it unless you absolutely convince me.
No, you'd still enjoy it. Well, they sell everything. He's like an advertising guy in New York. They get sick of it, so they sell everything, quit their job, mm-hmm. and they buy an RV and leave New York City and head across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they end up in Vegas, and Albert Brooks, so he shows his wife, played by, I'm not sure.
I see here it's Julie Haggerty from Airplane.
Yeah. he shows her, she has no idea what a slot machine is or anything.
Uh-huh. Place,
so he kind of shows her a few things. So he gives her like 10 bucks and he says, listen, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. By the time he gets up, he gets called into the office and she has lost everything, even the RV, but they give him the title back and say, get out of here.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, it's, I hate to see that kind of thing. It's part of a comedy, but she literally lost everything they had through the night and they didn't try to stop her.
And that's their job, is to let you just keep losing. I have played, and I'm literally not joking here. I have played 20,000 hands of blackjack in a casino, if not more. I've on numerous occasions in my life, I've sat down for 8 or 10 hours in a row and played blackjack. And I'll get up $1,000, $1,200, and I'll be down $400. And instead of leaving when you should, you try to make the 1,200, 5,000, and then you're down 1,000, and then you kind of go back and forth. And that's what they want you to do. They know as long as you're there, the longer you're there, they're going to win.
Right. Well, I know a lot of guys that gamble, and the one guy, you'll relate to this, he went to Rocky Gap, and he said the saddest moment was I walked in, put some money in the machine, and won $300 within like 5 minutes.
But
and
you,
he thought,
yeah,
I should get out of here.
But
and
you just drove an hour and a half to get there. You're going to leave after 5 minutes? No.
Yeah, and he ended up down $200.
Yeah.
So he got the $300 back. They got the $300 back and his $200, and he had a good night. He said.
It ended up being a good night after that.
No. He ended up losing $500 total. He had the $300.
Yeah. Right.
Lost, so he was down $200 by the end of the night, but he thought, hey, they gave me $300 to play with, so I only lost $200, so I had a good night.
So,
a gambler's mentality.
That's exactly right, and I've been in that, you know, you're paying $200 for your night of entertainment, right?
Yep.
And yeah, I agree with that. That's a mindset I can relate to, having played many hands of blackjack. I got so many gambling stories I'm going to tell here. I don't want to keep you on the line for all of them. But you got anything else you add, Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh?
Well, one thing you notice is all these ads for the gambling right at the bottom in very small print is, if you have a gambling problem, call this number. But you can't even read it.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't want you to call that number. Do you? Would you hope that this fella who stole $20 million, would you hope that maybe he wins his lawsuit against FanDuel?
Well, I think they took advantage of a guy who he was addicted. And I don't know. I'm not a big gambler, but I think they're supposed to realize that at some point and help get somebody help. So I don't know. I think he might win something. He'll win a token amount, maybe.
Right. And I tried to read some, and there's more resources out there. But the person suing, they're claiming they have evidence that the person from FanDuel knew they were breaking anti-money laundering protocol. Now, is that law? Is that suggestion? How far does that kind of stuff go? Because casinos, these sports, they can't be involved in money laundering. They've got to make sure that, you know, the money coming in and out is it kind of makes sense, because otherwise criminals, drug dealers, all this stuff, they could just launder their money through the sports book. And so
right.
there are protocol in place to prevent that. And again, this guy claims to have evidence that they didn't do that.
From what you read, I'd say it's very possible everything the guy said happened. He still bears some responsibility, but I wouldn't be surprised that everything he said happened.
Yeah, very good. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. All right, since we're on this, I'll get back to my football stuff here. I'm on a roll with the gambling stories now. So I Googled John Daly. How much has John Daly lost gambling? First story says, John Daly once said that he has lost around $55 million in gambling. Here's my John Daly story. If you've heard it before, I've mentioned it a few times on the radio over the years. He's from Arkansas. I'm from Arkansas. There's a number of casinos in Tunica, Mississippi, just south of Memphis. So somewhere around like 1994 or so. Let's see. 94, 95. I would have had to have been 21 years. So we're probably next, say 95. So I'm playing blackjack 2 o'clock in the morning at a casino in Tunica, Mississippi. And buddies come over and say, Geiger, come here. 2 o'clock in the morning, I walk over, see the high roller slot machine room for high rollers. There's John Daly sitting there 2 o'clock in the morning by himself. This gigantic, like 60-ounce jug of beer next to him. $1,000 coins, one after another. Boom, 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 boom. We watched for like 3 or 4 minutes. He had to have put $75,000 in that machine. Maybe not that much, $50,000. 2 o'clock in the morning, John Daly. And that's how they get you. Now, one other blackjack story I do have to tell. So this would have been around 2017. It was a Penn State trip to Iowa. So when Penn State goes on the road, we'll go out to eat on a Friday night, go to the game on Saturday morning. Well, when they go to Iowa, they always play at night. And so I'd go to Iowa, and I'd have the rental car, and there's this casino, maybe 20, 25 minutes from where we'd always stay. So I would go over there and play a little bit. You know, he didn't have to get up early because it was a night game the next day. So I'd go play a few $100. I actually had a lot of success at this casino. I probably went 3 times over all my trips to Iowa, and in those 3 times, I probably came out $1,500 ahead, give or take, maybe $1,000, $1,200 ahead. I did pretty well at this casino. So one night, it's midnight, 1 a.m. This dude is drunk out of his damn mind that I'm sitting next to. He's an older guy, in his 60s probably. He is so far gone. There's no way he could see in front of him. I don't know that he could see the cards. I don't know that he could see the chips. He was talking so much gibberish, talking to himself. He was at third base. And for those of you who know blackjack, know what third base is. If you don't, I'm not explaining it to you. So he's at third base by himself, nobody around. I'm kind of in the middle of the table. Just kind of, I don't say anything at blackjack. I'm concentrating very, very heavily on what I'm doing. So this guy's just over here. I'm with him for 45 minutes or so. He's just talking all kinds of crazy stuff, just saying all kinds of nonsense. You know how much money he's got in front of him? He's got a tray of about $125,000 in it. I got my stash of, I was doing pretty well. I usually start off with $200-$300. I had my stash of like $700. I was doing pretty well. This guy's got $125,000 in front of him. He's got like two trays of $1,000 casino chips. I don't think he could see them. I don't think he could hit the cards. See the cards. There's a funny Family Guy scene where Peter's playing blackjack, and he goes, he's got 18, and he goes, hit me. And Lois says, Peter, you want to do that? He goes, hit me. And he gives him a 3. He goes, 20. And he goes, hit me. So he hits on 20. All right. This friggin' guy who's so far gone at this blackjack table is me, him, one other person. One other person was on my right. I was in the middle. He was playing third base. And, man, this dude is betting like $2,000 and $3,000 chips at a time. And, you know, he'd win one, lose one, win one, lose. Because that's kind of how it goes in blackjack. A lot of times you win one, lose one, win two, lose two, win three, lose four, whatever. You know, you could kind of hang around in blackjack. Unless you have a terrible streak, you lose 6, 7 in a row, and that can sometimes wipe you out. But this guy's betting $2,000, $3,000 per hand. And he, I don't know that he hit on 20, but he's doubling down on 16. Like, he had 16, and the dealer had 10, and he's doubling down. Like, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? Like, what the hell is going on here? He, there's no way he knew what he was doing. He kept winning, though. He kept winning. And in the 45 minutes that I sat there, he probably went from $80,000 to $150,000. And then he walked away. and he needed two security guards to help him to the elevator because he had a hotel room there. And he walked away with two giant trays full of $1,000 chips. I'm estimating it was 150 grand. I don't know. I've never had I've had one $1,000 chip, you know, but never multiple where I've got a couple grand at the table at a time because that's stupid. You cash it in. So this guy walks. He couldn't see. He couldn't make his way to the elevator by himself. And yet, moral of the story, guy did everything wrong. He broke every blackjack rule imaginable. Walked away with 150 grand. Crazy. You know, I was winning, so I wasn't. If I'm sitting there losing, you know, terribly, it would have been bad. But I was winning okay, so I wasn't too angry.
Drivers in the lower series of racing are watching what the Cup Series drivers are doing. So does that weigh heavily on Tyler Reddick?
I've only done this for a few years, but it certainly seems like from a fan's perspective, my perspective as a fan growing up, you know, there was less reward for taking the risk. And I feel like now that just continues to elevate. So for us, when we come from dirt racing, you know, we're used to making aggressive moves, dealing with aggressive racetracks, if you will, at times too, having to go out there and in the first lap or two, find it, you know, you get three or four laps and warm up or practice and you got to go run a lap in qualifying. So I think just our nature, our upbringing really kind of primed us for how this car races today. You know, you hear Kyle talk about it right at Bristol. I mean, you're just 100% of all you got for 500 laps at Bristol. And that's just kind of the mindset we had growing up as drivers, just to always push the issue. You know, I remember the last time I did go run some dirt, it was like, wow, you know, my mindset's really shifted, because you're used to having 40, 50 laps opening stage or 20, 30 laps in practice to really feel what you have. And when you go dirt racing, you need to find it in two laps. And a lot of times your race is 20 to 30 laps, maybe 50 in some of the bigger ones. So you don't have the time, the luxury of time that you do here. So it does really seem like the dirt racing mindset has applied well to this next-gen car, Phil.
You're on the final lap.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menus, signs, and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a walk-up with central air and a skylight. And you found it. Now, every Friday night, you get to fall asleep to the sound of your downstairs neighbors' dance parties. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
Hank FM.
I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said, knock you out. LL Cool J Who knows what LL Cool J stands for? I'll let you simmer on it for a second. LL Cool J, who knows what that stands for? 946-0435. You want to jump in with the answer? All right, I want to get back to the football discussion. I was trying to have a little bit earlier about the Big Ten adding USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington. Do you like this move by the Big Ten? You think those teams, those programs belong in the Big Ten? You can say USC does. USC is a traditional national power. Maybe say Oregon does. Oregon's been a power for a good while. They've got all kinds of money. Washington, they've been a good program. Occasionally really good. Last year really good. But I don't know that they're going to be a consistent threat in the Big Ten. UCLA? Nope. I don't see it at all. I don't see UCLA being in the Big Ten. I don't see any reason for it. I really don't. You bring USC, you got the Los Angeles TV market. Why do you need UCLA? Well, you get more of the Los Angeles TV market, and it's huge. Man, UCLA is going to get destroyed in the Big Ten. How many people in LA that you weren't going to get from USC, how many more people are you going to get watching UCLA get hammered in the league? So I think UCLA is going to have a lot of problems. They've got a lot of problems right now in year one. You would think that, you know, trying to get ready for this, that they would be bolstering their program, physicality, and all that stuff. Instead, they're one of the worst teams in the country, offensively and defensively. Their quarterback's hurt. Penn State's favored by 4 touchdowns in this game. Now, to UCLA's credit, they gave LSU a really good game earlier this year. If they give Penn State any kind of quality game like that, that's going to be a big problem for Penn State, because you can't be messing around. Indiana beat UCLA 42-13. Oregon beat them 34-13. This is not the kind of team you want to be messing around with. You're bigger, faster, stronger. Penn State's favored 27.5 points. But my issue really is just even bigger. This expansion of college football conferences, it's just really kind of gotten me. More than just this, I'm so beleaguered, I'm so worn down by so many things going on in college athletics. The expansion of these conferences all over the place, killing traditional rivalries all over the place. Then you've got the transfer portal and NIL. I mean, I asked a question last week. Why would anybody be a Pirates fan? Well, now look, it's one thing to be a Penn State football fan. It's another thing to be a fan of another team. But is there anybody out there that's a fan of college athletics anymore? I'm trying to draw a distinction here. You could be a Penn State fan, Pitt fan, Notre Dame, whoever you choose. Can you be a fan of college athletics? Because I'll make the same claim that I did last week about the Pirates, that it's impossible to be a fan of college athletics in general. It's already becoming a wild wasteland of insanity. And we're just a few years into this stuff. We're just a few years into the portal and NIL. What's all this going to look like in 10, 15, 20, 25 years? It's all about the money. It's all about the Benjamins. But the UCLA thing, kind of circling back to that, you know, I keep calling UCLA the little brother of the Big Ten. Now, Michigan State, you know, Mike Hart, running back from Michigan a number of years ago, called Michigan State little brother. That was a big, big mistake, because Michigan State then went out and hammered Michigan for a number of years. Michigan State had a really good football program. They're down right now, but you know they have a chance to maybe come back and be a good program consistently in the Big Ten. It's going to be tough, but they certainly were not little brother. They, you know, Mike Hart calling them little brother, that's the worst thing that could have happened to Michigan in that rivalry. Michigan State came up and showed them little brother can punch back and beat you up. But now, little brother of the Big Ten is Penn State's opponent this weekend, UCLA. UCLA was a soft program in the Pac-12. They didn't really compete at a real high level physically in the Big 12. Or I'm sorry, Pac-12. I don't know if I said Pac-12 or Big 12 first time there, but Pac-12. UCLA was a soft program in the Pac-12. And they're not exactly known for a lot of heavy hitting out there in the Pac-12. Pac-12 after dark, you're looking for crazy scores, a bunch of offense, and not a ton of great defense. And that's what you saw from UCLA in the Pac-12. You saw UCLA in the Big Ten? Oh, man. I just think they're in for a world of hurt, man. I think they're in for a world of hurt. And we go back to the 90s. I've talked about this a lot over time. Penn State, one of the great programs in the country in the 70s and 80s. Two national championships in the 80s. They joined the Big Ten. They needed it for their financial security. And that move in 1993... look how much it's paid off now, 30 years later. Penn State will always have a seat at the big boy table. Financially, being in the Big Ten, 107,000-seat stadium, Penn State's sitting pretty in a lot of ways financially. And you've got to cover your butt financially. You know, you don't want to be a UConn or a Kansas wondering, you know, who's going to want us or that. You know, UConn's kind of been floating in the wilderness. UConn's got the best men's basketball program in the country. And yet their football team was so bad that they were wondering where they would find a home athletically. Well, Penn State never has to worry about that. You know, they joined the Big Ten at a great time. But now, expansion now, I mentioned earlier Stanford and Cal going to the ACC, that makes no sense. The only reason they did so was because they didn't want to be the last people standing when all the bags dropped. So they got out and at least made some money in the ACC. But the Big Ten adding UCLA, I've tried to read about this and talk to some people. You know, it seems like USC was not going to come without UCLA. And the Big Ten really wanted USC. So they added UCLA. And that is so wild. There's no other scenario in all of the conference realignment discussion that we've had, maybe Duke, North Carolina, maybe, because that is such a tremendous basketball rivalry that if you're thinking, okay, what might happen to North Carolina at some point, would Duke have to come along? But see, I don't think so. If the Big Ten wanted North Carolina and came offering the kind of money that North Carolina would get, but said, we don't want Duke, then I think Duke would be left behind. Rivalry and all. 7 miles difference between their campus or whatever it is. But USC, UCLA, it's very weird to me. Very, very strange that it required some kind of package deal there.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell. Well, pipe.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Brugaroo, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncan.
The holidays are coming, and Lowe's is here to help you get ready. Right now, get up to 40% off select home decor to put the finishing touches on every room. The savings don't stop there. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, save an additional $75 on select cooking appliances, $899 or more. Because Lowe's knows holiday hosting. Valid through 10/16. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Appliance savings vary based on purchase amount. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for details.
We're going abroad for the first time in years, to Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
I want to thank our presenting sponsor, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, for all of their support of our little program. 946-0435, that's the number if you want to join us here in the next few minutes before we head off. But J.M. Boswell, they've been a great support for our show. And if you're over there, tell them that you heard us talking about them on Sports Central. They're open 9 till 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 till 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. Want to check in on some Major League Baseball playoffs. The Astros staying alive. They were down 1-0 in their game against the Tigers, but they come back with a couple of runs in the seventh inning to fight off and take a 2-1 lead in that wild card series. So pretty wild there. All right, and let's see. We've got the Royals with a 1-0 lead in the first over the Orioles. Kreider and Matt Bortner. Oh, now 2-2 Tigers and Astros. So Tigers just tied it up. That's a good series. We got Royals. They won yesterday in the AL wild card against the Orioles, and they're up 1-0 in the second inning. We got Mets Brewers coming up a little bit later on. Mets won game one of that wild card series. We got Braves Padres. San Diego won game one there. All right, 946-0435. Lots and lots of discussion this week about the Steelers and Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And what's going to happen there? Pretty fascinating, I think. I talked about this on the Black and Gold Breakdown show the other day. The Steelers got really lucky. They open up with the Falcons and Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins is a pretty good quarterback, but he didn't play well in that game. It was a season opener. He didn't play well at all. Then the Steelers get Bo Nix in week two in the Broncos, and he was terrible. Then instead of a healthy Justin Herbert in week three with the Chargers, Herbert Gimpy and gets pulled, and Steelers won there. Defense looked great. So the first 3 weeks, everybody's like, Steelers defense, awesome, 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 awesome. Okay. Well, they played Kirk Cousins in week one. He clearly was rusty or was not, you know, ready to go. And then they played two bad quarterbacks. Then in week four, they get Anthony Richardson, who came into the game completing 49% of his passes. He gets hurt. Joe Flacco comes in. And what do the Colts do? They score 27 points. Steelers defense, what happened? So now this week, I'm not one of these people that will sit here and tell you that Dak Prescott is a superstar. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's none of that. He's famous, and he gets a lot of attention because he is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. But he is a good quarterback. So this is really the first time that the Steelers are going to go. I mean, yeah, you could say with Kirk Cousins, but this is the first time they're going to go into a game. And you know the opposing quarterback's pretty good. Dak's completing 64%, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's not a superstar, but you've got to worry about some things that he can do. And all this notion about the Steelers having a great defense, unbelievable defense, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that was built against Bo Nix and a backup from the Chargers and Kirk Cousins not playing well. Well, then they run to the Colts, and 57-year-old Joe Flacco is able to beat them, a backup, scoring 27. The Colts scored 27 points between Richardson and Flacco. So I just think it's going to be fascinating to watch this week to see what the Steelers' defense does. Are they going to be able to win a game like this 13-10, 16-13? See, I don't think so. That's the style Mike Tomlin wants to play. That's the game plan Mike Tomlin wants to have. And I don't think that's going to work against somebody, against the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Now, they've got some injuries of their own. They're not a great offense. But I can still see the Cowboys coming in and giving the Steelers offense some issues. And then we're going to be, well, what's going to happen with Russell? What's going to happen with Justin Fields then if they lose this game? If they win, hey, 4-1. It's easy to keep your starting quarterback when you're 4-1. If they lose this game and the offense struggles again, Justin Fields makes some more mistakes, we got a quarterback competition then. So it's going to be, there's a lot on the line for the Steelers this week. Kind of an understatement because there's a lot online every week in the NFL, but the Steelers' schedule, man, oh boy, it's tough. You got the Cowboys this week. Then you've got a stretch of at the Raiders, home against the Jets, home against the Giants, at the Commanders. Giants aren't a great team. Everybody else is pretty good. All right, folks, that'll wrap things up for me. Have a good night. Talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WK.